Giants making that great music in Denver. Man, 12 in a row, 8 in a row at Coors. This is bonkers. Insanity. I couldn't even imagine the Giants dominating the Rockies or actually having a good vibe at Coors Field, but they go for the sweep today. I can't believe I'm saying this. 12-10 first pitch, Logan Webb on the mound, and the Giants then will come on home to host the Padres. We host Mike Kruko right now on the UMA guest line. Good morning, Mike. How are you, man?
Luke. Well, I'm doing well. Are you kidding me? Watching these guys play baseball on Coors Field, I can't explain it.
Yeah.
You know, last year when they went on the roll and they won 107 games, I think one of the most remarkable things that they did was go into Colorado in September and win 3 games. I was like, how do you do that? It just never happens. And I started thinking about it back then. And now, I mean, I'm watching these last 2 games and I'm thinking about it again. In Joan Ryan's book, Intangibles, you know, she talked about a group mindset that is chemistry, and she proved it. It was beautifully written and researched, and only Joan Ryan could write a book like that, take an abstract subject and make sense of it. But it really is kind of what we're watching right now with, if you consider what the mindset has always been in Colorado with the Rockies, they got the last at-bat. And that last at-bat, that won them so many games. Nobody that I can remember has ever won so many games in their last at-bat at home than the Rockies. It's just remarkable. And I think what it has done is put a negative mindset in every team going in there. They expect the Rockies to score late, win big. No matter how many runs you have, it's echoed in the dugout during the game. Keep adding on. Because you just think that freight train that is the Rockies offense in Coors Field is going to overcome any deficit. We watched the last night when it was 10-2. And then all of a sudden, whoop, it's 10-7. Here they come. But I think what's happened, and it's almost like, you know, the negative mindset the teams had going into Colorado, which the Giants were certainly a part of, it's gone. Now I think it's on the other side of the field. I think it's in the Rockies dugout. I think they're feeling like, how do we beat this team? We can't beat this team. And I think, the feeling I get watching, even in Coors Field, they have that feeling. So it's remarkable what we're seeing. I can't even explain it because I thought that was the biggest home field advantage in all of sport. And now the Giants have turned that advantage into an advantage of their own. So I'm flabbergasted. You say, how am I feeling? I'm feeling really good.
It's true, and you're absolutely right. It's I don't know if Gabe and Farhan are going to ever show us the secret sauce or what it is, but it's definitely an attack mindset or maybe the breathing that they're doing out by the forest. Did you see that, Mike, the breathing exercises they're doing out by the forest out there in center field? You know what I mean?
Hey, I'm seeing things on a daily basis that I've never seen before, but hey, they're working.
No, yeah. I know.
Did you guys ever do breathing exercises?
Without your shoes on?
Man, I don't know. No, that would be a flat-out no.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll one year, the very first year I got to spring training with the Giants in 1983, Frank Robinson had the big thing then was aerobics. People had aerobic dance instructors, and he brought this gal in, and she was an aerobic dance instructor. And so she got in the middle of a circle, and the whole team got around her, and we would do this every day for, like, you know, 20 minutes. We would do dance, and we would do ballet stretch, and I swear, it was hysterical. And it all started off where, you know, we just kind of, you know, it was kind of a joke, right? Yeah, okay, great. And we thought, well, this is just another way for Frank Robinson to bring a good-looking woman onto the field, you know, which is great. She was. Yes. But along about a week into it, I'm thinking, man, these are really good stretches. We've never done these stretches before.
Right.
And it kind of opened up my eyes. And these are stretches I did the rest of my career. So, you know, we left our shoes on, but, you know, it was kind of like the very first time we'd ever seen anything outside of the norm of baseball that we all benefited from. So it was a good lesson. You know, look in other ways to get better. You know, don't always feel that just because you're in one sport in the conventional ways that you use for generations, there are other ways to get better. And I think this generation of player does that more than any generation of player that baseball has ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Well, and certainly the Kapler Giants for sure. I love the Jazzercise 83 Giants. A very, remember the movie Physical with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John was hot at the time. So you guys were on the cutting edge there, Mike. But so's Gabe, and it's working. And they have a positive, aggressive mindset. And Tommy La Stella, it's interesting. He's a guy, you know, I as a Giants, you know, lifer, I still don't have a true handle on him. He's been dogged by injuries, but, you know, Farhan gave him a multi-year contract when he came. And, you know, he had been obviously a World Series champ with the Cubs. But just when you see Tommy La Stella, and they're playing him at DH, Mike, so far, and just kind of like, you know, his entry back into the fray, hit that home run he hit last night, the two doubles too, just in what you kind of expect from him. I mean, last year he played 76 games, 220 at bats. So he didn't have the full year last year, and already he missed the first 33 this year. So it's been, I don't want to say a weird or truncated start to his career, but sort of looking forward to Tommy La Stella taking full flight here.
Well, I think he's kind of the essence of Farhan. I really do. Because he can take pitches. He's absolutely fearless about a two-strike count. He could care less. I mean, he steps in the batter's box, and pitching against a guy like that, you know, he's not going to go out of his zone. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to work for what you get. And if you just get to the point where it's like, gosh, screw it, here, hit this, he could take you out of the ballpark. And those guys are kind of scary. And, I mean, you like him at the top of your lineup. Now, obviously, you like to see him out there every day. And I just don't know physically if he's going to be capable of doing that. I don't know. But, I mean, he's a difference maker in the lineup. And, you know, he's a guy that you like seeing leading off a game. You like seeing coming into an existing rally. You like seeing him coming into an RBI situation where it's a big RBI out there. And that's why I say he's the essence of Farhan, because he does all of those things and he does them well.
Yeah, looking forward to it, and we'll see if he goes out there today at 12:10. Speaking of who plays today, and Logan Webb's on the hill, what was notable yesterday was Kurt Casale in the crouch. And, you know, I guess you hit two bombs, you get to go back out there. But it was unusual, and I'm looking at, not unusual, but of note, I should say. And here's a quote from Kapler, very Kapler-esque quote, when he talks about, he says, it's sensible. I don't think it's sensible to not have his bat in the lineup today. We do say that we want to be responsive to what we're seeing. This is an indication that we're doing that, which is a way of saying he's hot. We're playing him. But I would expect Joey Bart back today. Casale went 0 for 5 yesterday. But just your thought on, you know, that little shift in the lineup there.
I think it's significant. I think they're looking for offense, and Casale's been hot. And you run him out there and you know, run this hot streak into the ground. I love it when Gabe Kapler starts to talk and protect everybody's mindset. He's very, very aware of that clubhouse. But I swear, if he ever got tired of being a big league manager, he could be the ambassador in Iran or something. I mean,
he's
a diplomat. He's amazing.
Yeah, he chooses his words so carefully, right?
I mean, he just wants to support his guys. And I get all that. And he's positive. I mean, I just think playing for positive people is a difference maker. I mean, it really made a difference to me playing for Roger Craig, who was the most positive guy I'd ever played for, and he's my favorite manager of all time. What we saw in St. Louis with Bart, you know, he started thinking right field, and you could see him stay inside the ball longer. And I think that's a significant thing as he goes forward. It's upsetting to see him swing through so many balls and miss. Swing and miss, you can't even explain it when you have an abundance of swing and miss. You know, we watched it with Brandon Belt that one year where he was swinging through high fastballs out over the plate at the belt, and he couldn't foul him off. And you could just see it in his face. It wears a guy out. And you know, we're watching it in Joey Bart's case. Well, with Belt, it was a bit different because he had some success. He had been a veteran when this all happened to him. So, you know, he could have that feeling like, well, this has happened to me before. I can ride it out. And he did. But when you're a young player and you haven't really established yourself yet, when you go through this, you have that big question. It's like, can I play here? Do I belong here? And that's what you wake up with in your mind every day, and that's what you go to bed with on your mind every night. You can't shake it. So, you know, I think it's in there. I mean, I've been a big proponent of him, and I believed in the guy because, you know, look, he hit 287 in minor leagues. You do that, you can hit. You can make contact. So I think it's in there, and I hope that he can turn it around. I think he's doing the right things to get turned around. But, you know, if you're missing that much, you're going to lose playing time, bottom line. I mean, they're going to watch you for so long, but sooner or later you have to produce. And he's lost some playing time. And to Casale's credit, he's taking advantage of it. But I fully expect, because of the day game after night game, you're going to see him in there today.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Yeah, good points. All good points and stuff to watch. You said it's significant, and it is. Giants are 12-10 today. Logan Webb, we think it'll be Joey Barr. We haven't seen the lineup yet. Then off Thursday. And then they come home, and a big week. I mean, the Padres and the Mets.
That's going to be good stuff. I mean,
you're talking playoff-level baseball, so we'll see what role Joey Bart plays in that week. You know who's hot, Mike? And it's interesting. I'm looking at his number. He went 3-for-4 yesterday, drove in three. He's up to 281 with an OPS now up around 810. That's Mike Yastrzemski. And you know what's funny about him last year is it was a quote-unquote down year compared to 2019 when he burst on the scene and everything, or 2020 when he finished eighth in the MVP voting. But he did hit 25 bombs last year. Now it's 224 and a 768 OPS. This year, he's hitting 281 with an 810 OPS. But more importantly, he looks like he's swinging it well. And
he
that,
does, yeah.
What he means to that lineup, Mike, when he's swinging it.
Well, I think he's going to hit a home run every time he gets in the batter's box now. And I don't care if it's Coors Field or if he's playing at Oracle Park with wind in his face. I just think he's going to hit a home run every at bat. And, you know, I think we all feel that watching him. You know, he's going off right now. I think he's always been one of the strongest front-shoulder guys in the lineup. Him and Crawford, I think, are the strongest front-shoulder guys, meaning that, you know, whoever they face, they don't pull off the ball. And it's especially obvious when they're hitting against left-handed pitching. But when both those guys are hitting the ball to left field, you know they're locked in. And that's where it's been right now with Yastrzemski. When he's really going good, he's not just serving the ball to left field. He'll backspin the ball to left field. And that's where he's locked in. And I just, you know, one of the great things about baseball, because you play it every day, you can see it every day when a guy's hot, when he takes that confidence in that batter's box or when he takes it out on the mound, you can see it. There's no other sport like it that really, really can display a hot streak better than baseball because it's played every day. And right now we're watching it with Yastrzemski, and it's fun.
I know. Can't wait. Can't wait. And by the way, we asked Javi Lopez about this yesterday, but it's our first chance to ask you because it's now been two in a row, and we hadn't seen this. Seemed like we hadn't seen this guy for weeks, Camilo Doval.
Yeah.
Two saves now. And last night, you know, had to work a little bit because it's Coors. What are you seeing, Mike? Seeing anything in his delivery, in his stuff, in his pitch selection? Are you seeing anything? Because he's back-to-back saves in Coors is nice.
Well, you know, we saw him, his last outing at Oracle Park before they went on this road trip, and he was just dominant. I mean, he had stuff and he had location, and the location is really his key. Because some days he has it and some days he doesn't have it. But the beautiful thing about, you know, having an outing like we watched him have in San Francisco, is he dominated with location, and he was throwing fastballs with conviction. He was finishing them off. He wasn't holding them back. There was great extension and finish through his pitch, throwing the fastball. The word I'm looking for is commitment. He had better commitment with that fastball. He was throwing it not just to the catcher. He was trying to throw it through the catcher. And that only comes with confidence. That's the one thing you stress with any young pitcher. Imagine that you have three panes of glass up there. One is the hitter, the other one behind it is the catcher, and the other one behind it is the umpire. And what you want to think as a pitcher is you want to throw a pitch that you're going to try and break all those panes of glass. That's commitment, and that's what Doval has right now. He has commitment on the fastball, I think, for the first time really in his career. And it's hard to believe a guy that throws 99 or even 101 could not believe and have that conviction in his fastball, but he hasn't. And I think he does now. I mean, he threw a fastball last night by C.J. Cron in a 1-1 count, and he blew it right through him. And I thought, this game's over. Because I'm thinking, you know, here's a chance for this guy. Cron's got 9 home runs, 7 at Coors Field, and he's their big bopper. And I'm thinking, 2 men on, he's a tie and run, tie score. Here we go, it's Coors Field. After he swung through that 1-1 fastball, it was like I started looking to see what else was on because this game was over. And that's what he has right now. And I think if he goes forward, if he could get even better with his consistency of location, you're going to have a bad animal. Because he thinks he can do it. I mean, now he thinks that his stuff is stuff that you can't hit. And now you add location on top of that, and he could be an all-star.
Man, some visiting, was it you or Dwayne who told some visiting broadcaster said, do you guys have the new Kenley Jansen? I mean, same kind of body type a little bit and same kind of stuff. Do you see that comp at all?
No, because the release is so different. He's he's really a low three-quarter with a sling type of a delivery, which in that regard is unique. And I can see the comparative between him and Jansen, who's a high three-quarter. I would say that similarity is that they have a uniqueness about their delivery. They're not normal. So, you know, they're different release and different arm slots, but yet they're unique. And their uniqueness about them, you know, in the stuff, in that they're both the stuff from both pitchers is completely nasty. I just makes, you know, it makes them a tough out. It makes them a tough guy to try and do something with late in the ball game. And, what we saw with Jansen, you know, he kind of discovered that confidence early. And what we're watching right now with Doval, I think, is that he's starting to get that consistent confidence. I hope he rises to the level of Jansen. That's the hope.
Oh, it would be amazing. But, yeah, the heat, the cut. I mean, I was talking to Waterboy who pitched in college here, and he says Jansen was more of a cutter versus Doval's slider. I mean, is that maybe – I don't know. Just to me, they kind of look. Maybe it's just the hair too. They got the same hair.
They will never have similar stuff mm-hmm. simply because of the arm angle.
Yeah.
Jansen was like almost over the top.
Yeah.
And that's and the cut was such a deceptive pitch you couldn't pick it up. But when you watch Duvall, at times he's almost sidearm.
Yeah.
And he's a total sling.
Yeah.
He hides the ball well, kind of like Bumgarner did with his delivery.
Yeah.
And because of that, and he's got 101 behind it. I mean, that in itself is. It's nasty, but he was nibbling. He was nibbling with that 101 for the longest time. Now he's not.
Yeah, good stuff, man. Do you think he would have enough gas to go out there again today and do it?
You know, when you're throwing good, you take a little out of your arm because your mechanics are good. And I think he's in that mode right now. I don't know if they would. I would not be surprised. But, you know, again, a young arm like that, they may protect him.
Yeah, because our great listener, John Platt, Stanford broadcaster, the last time a Giants – pitcher closed three straight road games. Sergio, April 29, 30, May 1st, 2013 at Arizona.
That's good trivia.
So Sergio did it.
Well, you know, again, I mean, Sergio was a guy who was a complete finesse guy with a no-dot slider. I mean,
he had
an amazing uniqueness about him. And from that high sidearm delivery, he was amazing with his command. He could throw strikes in his sleep. I don't think you could say that same thing about Doval. He's a little more violent. And I think guys who are a little more violent, they take a bit more time to recover.
Yeah.
And I may be completely wrong with this guy. I mean, I hope he proves me that he has a rubber-type arm. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see how they handle it today because they'll be in tune with him. They'll know exactly if he's got a hot spot anywhere and if he's available to go.
Yeah.
But, again, having said all that, I wouldn't be surprised if he was out there.
Yeah, all interesting stuff. Good stuff. Hey, before we let you go, Mike, the round baseball, some interesting stuff happened last night. And I wanted to ask you about Nate Eovaldi. He had a five-pitch inning. How about that? Five-pitch inning. The very next inning, he gave up five home runs. Mike, as an old starting pitcher, do you almost want to send him a note?
I know.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Here's some candy. Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, after the third one, you got to move somebody's feet, don't you?
I mean, there you go.
Throw it to your head. Just move their feet.
Yeah. Move them off. Yeah. That's it.
And, I mean, I've... Five is ridiculous.
Yeah,
I can't. That BP pitcher is proud of that. You know, I mean, and that's hard to do in BP, let alone a game. And Evaldi's got great stuff. So after three, you got to move somebody around.
That's true. And then the other thing, I as an old starting pitcher, did you see who came back for the White Sox this week and threw six shutout innings? Our old pal Johnny Cueto.
Yeah, he was spinning, and good for him. And I thought. Johnny was a character in that clubhouse and a good guy. He had a positive, real positive effect on this organization. I don't know if it was ever talked about or told, but, I mean, he really went out of his way to make the minor leaguers, the Latino minor league players, especially the Dominican players that came into the organization, he brought them into the comfort zone. I mean, it was commonplace during spring training. he would have dinner at his house for, you know, 20, 30, 40 guys. And he's in the middle of it, cooking and holding court and answering questions. And, I mean, he really helped the younger players, you know, hit the comfort zone and you know, become a big part of the organization. And I always appreciate him for that. So good for him.
Yeah, I'll be rooting for him for sure, too. And then this one's for your partner, Smoothie, who lost his voice. And we wish him well coming back. Hopefully he'll be back by Friday. But he always says he likes to check the box scores to see who took the hat trick or the sombrero. Did you see Tyler O'Neill, the Cardinals, yesterday? Struck out 6 times in one game.
I mean,
apparently that's
Cardinal. I didn't see that. That's that.
Six.
I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Six pack.
So you ready for this? So he strikes out 6 times. It's a doubleheader against the Mets. And that's it was a franchise record. That's the Cardinals now. And in the next game, he came back and got the tie-breaking infield single in the 9th inning to win the game.
Man, you know, I had a conversation when I was playing with Pete Rose. I asked him, you know, did you strike out, you know, 4 times in a game? He said, yeah, Ray Cole. And I said, really? He goes, yeah. And he goes, in the second half of the doubleheader, I got three hits. And it was like right away. You think he can forget that? No. I mean, that's the only time I think it ever happened in his career. But it just gives you an idea of how long that's going to sit on O'Neill's mind. He'll never forget that.
Oh, my God. Baseball. Eovaldi, O'Neill, these are great players. And baseball will get you, man. It will get you. It's a good lesson for the kids.
Before we go, I think we have a minute. I'm going to tell a story about Kipe. On Monday, he's starting to lose his voice in Denver. And, you know, Denver, that's a dry place. You know, if you have a scratch in your throat, it's going to get exploited. So, anyway, he goes to John during the game, and he says, John, have you got any throat lozenges? Because John usually has everything in his bag for your throat. And John goes, I don't, let me look. So he searches around for an inning. He finds 2 throat lozenges in the bottom of his bag, and he gives them to Kipe, and they've been in this bag since 1995, right?
Oh, no.
So Kipe's scuffling, his throat's scratching, and he can't get the paper off of the throat lozenge.
Yes.
It's like morphed into the throw lozenge, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So he goes, screw it. He throws it in there, and he's got the grapple on the throw lozenge, and he's trying to milk it down so he can get some relief, right? So it works, but the rest of the game, he was spitting pieces of paper out.
Oh, okay. That's a tough Monday night, man.
Oh, my gosh.
We've all been there.
That's smooth.
We've all been there with the can't get that paper off. He's going all in. That's it. That's the kind of dedication he had. That's awesome. What we wish is vocal cords well by Friday. Hopefully you guys will be on the call Friday for the Padres. So great conversation, Mike. We will talk to you Friday.
In a bit.
Mike Kruko on the Power Hour. Very strong hit today, as always. The guy's amazing. Total pro.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.